In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, in the Gospel today, Jesus uses his divine power to cure unfortunate persons afflicted with the disease of leprosy. He manifests his divinity with this miraculous healing, and he manifests also his humanity, having pity for these 10 men. This malady was one of the most terrible. Once a person was recognized as a leper, he was forced to leave his home and his family and to stay in the caves or in the wilderness with no relief to hope for except death. Beyond doubt, Jesus intended this miracle to be also a sign, to be a symbol of a far greater miracle. He planned to perform a greater cleansing, a deeper purification against the spiritual leprosy of sin, which brings death into the human soul. It reminds me the words of fire that a mother said to her son, and her son was Saint Louis the Ninth, Saint Louis the King. She told him, "My son, I would prefer you to get leprosy than you to have in your soul even one mortal sin." Words of mothers are worth words of truth. So this miracle is performed because it has also a theological meaning. It's a teaching. We experience the same purification when we go to confession. And this miracle for us is performed not only once or a few times, but on many, many occasions in the sacrament of penance, whereby the priest, through the authority of Jesus Christ, absolves us and restores our souls to the spiritual health of sanctifying grace. Jesus said to the lepers, "Go and show yourself to the priest." The priest of the Old Testament had the authority to judge whether or not a person was afflicted with leprosy. And if and when someone was freed from the disease and consequently was again allowed to associate with human society. Similarly, Jesus Christ appointed the priest of his church to be judges of men's souls, having the ability to forgive, to absolve sins in his name, and to restore them to the full membership of his church. It must have been a supreme joy to these lepers when they found themselves cured in the fullness of health. So for us too, when we have gone to confession and received absolution, we should rejoice that our soul is again purified, clean and pure, again able to join our brethren in the faith at the communion rail. 10 men were cured, and our Lord has made no restriction as to the number or to the gravity of their wounds. Even if a sinner falls many times, Jesus will pardon him again and again if the sinner is truly repentant and has really decided to change his life. But it is also possible to be ungrateful and to forget the great privilege that the Lord has given to us. We take so much for granted. Only a Samaritan, a stranger, returned to Jesus and received from the Lord a special praise. Arise, go thy way, for thy faith has made thee whole. With this Samaritan, we learn how to fall on our knees before God with eternal and total gratitude. We should never go a day without returning to Jesus, thanking Him for all the good He has done to us. A person with a thankful heart has a proper perspective. It's an attractive heart. The famous Catholic writer J.K. Chesterton said, "The secret to happiness is gratitude." The secret to happiness is gratitude. Let us check our heart. Where do we stand? Restless, never satisfied, continually thinking about our problems? The word think is from the old English think, THANC, meaning thought. Thinking is therefore related to thinking. Gratitude is a disposition inside a human being, and thanksgiving is its natural expression. Thankfulness, because it unites the mind and the heart, is an expression of the whole person. Thankfulness is a memory of the heart. If having faith, we live in God, St. Paul teaches that very well, it means living in thanksgiving. St. Paul says to the Romans, "The most wicked miseries and depravities in the world are found in thankless hearts." We find Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, Mary, at the complete opposite. In the Magnificat, she praises the Mighty One who has done so great things for her. A real believer sees the hand of God in many circumstances of his life, for small and ordinary things, and also for big steps. He is even able to thank God in the midst of adversity. St. Paul modeled this positive attitude when he was facing so many challenges, so many dangers of his apostolic mission. St. Teresa of Avila uses words of truth, and she says, "Life is short. Our trials last but a moment." The spirit of thanksgiving leads us to follow Jesus despite whatever could happen in our life. It brings us joy and peace, even when things are difficult. By that spirit of gratitude, what might have been heavy is made light. What could have been bitter is made sweet. And the life of faith becomes our joy. May this true spirit of thanksgiving, which is itself a gift from on high, inflame our hearts with the love of Christ and help us to grow in His grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.